This has been quite a week. Praise God. We're moving into an amazing time. Amen. And I'm going to be talking about that this morning, but we've got to understand the priorities of God. Holy Spirit has literally gripped my heart this week and about some stuff, and I tried several times. I thought I need to call somebody else and have them preach this Sunday, because I just couldn't. I wasn't sure, and Holy Spirit just, there's a redirect coming to the body of Christ. We talk about a redirect coming to this nation. There's a redirect coming to the body of Christ, and we're gonna have to hear what the word of the Lord is, not our desires, not what we want it to be, but we need to hear what the word of the Lord is, and we need to be yielded to that and accepting of that, because it's not going to be. You know, we talk about revival. We talk about awakening. We talk about outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And in some ways, in the body of Christ, we talk about it like it's some kind of ice cream social with our favorite music playing in the background and all of our needs being met. That's the farthest thing from a move of God that you can possibly get. If we pray for a move of God, what we're saying is, God, I want you to completely mess my life up. I want you to take over my life. Because it's going to be a lot of work. It's going to be times of prayer that doesn't end for a while. Agonizing prayer. Going to be hard work. We've got to wrap our minds around this and say, God, I'm not afraid of the labor of your presence. We talk about the presence of God meeting our needs. Well, I got to tell you something. When God's moving, some of your needs being met is this: God, just help me to make it another step, because the demand is beyond what you can measure, what you can get to. Amen. I've got a bunch of old wooden folding chairs. I'm trying to get to where I'm going here. I've got a bunch of old wooden folding chairs. I've got two of them in my office, right underneath Brother Shambach's picture. His voice is like home to me, because that's where I started my life. And those wooden folding chairs, to me, don't just represent great revivals of the 40s and 50s. It represents work to me. Because there's a lot of times my dad they'd pull on to a place where there's going to be holding the next meeting, and they would have to unload and set up sometimes 20,000 folding chairs after they got the 10 up. Can you imagine that? And then when that meeting is over, they had to take them all, take everything apart, stack them in trucks, haul it to the next place, unload them, set them all back up again. We talk about the revival. We talk about the miracles. We talk about the amazing services. We talk about the things that God did. But I got to tell you something. Revival is sweat. A move of God is commitment. We can't sit and spectate. This is not a video game. It is not a movie. We cannot spectate this. We have to be in the middle of it. Yeah. The word the Lord has given me today might sound like a pretty hard word, but it's something we need to hear. At least Holy Spirit thinks so. In the book of Acts chapter 1 and verse 4, it says, and being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? Jesus said to them, it is not for you to know times or seasons, which the Father has put in his own authority. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. And that word witness actually interprets martyr. You shall be martyrs for me. Jesus stands before them after resurrection, after 40 days of being with them and ministering and bringing stability back to his people, his disciples, and showing them many things. He's getting ready to be taken up into heaven. And he tells them that you've got to wait for the promise of the Father, which you've heard from me. One day Jesus breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. They were ordained to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But in verse 5 he says, but John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. And immediately they interrupted him and wanted to know if they were going to get the power back of the government. Will you restore the kingdom back to Israel? Jesus just got through saying you're going to be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. But their concern was, will we be able to conquer Rome? Jesus spoke to them and said, that's really not what you need to be worrying about right now. That's not for you to know. That's in God's own authority. And he went right back to what he was saying, but you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and to the utter parts of the world. And today we have seen the gospel spread all over this world, and yet there are thousands and millions and millions and millions of people that have not heard the gospel yet. This week, Holy Spirit spoke to me very strongly, and he said, I am not here to establish the kingdom of America. I am here to establish the kingdom of God. There's a redirect coming to the body of Christ. We have got to get our eyes off of who we like and who condones what we're doing. And we've got to go back to an attitude of, I don't care who you are. I don't care what laws you pass. We are the kingdom of God, and we will preach the gospel. We will heal the sick. You can pass laws and say it's not supposed to happen, but we'll do it anyway. The body of Christ is not a bunch of weak, paid pablum prophets that seek the approval and attention of people of this earth. The kingdom of God are spirit-filled, anointed men and women of God that stand up and say, I know who the Savior is. I know who reigns in heaven, and I will not back down. If it offends you, I'm going to offend you so bad, you're going to have to run to your safe place. I literally stayed on my knees this morning saying, God, if there's any way, let this cup pass from me. Because he called me today. He asked me to stand up today and declare to the body of Christ that hardship is coming. Rejection is coming. Persecution is coming. Will we be the people of God or not? Can we stand up like Stephen while they're biting on us with their teeth and declare, you've murdered the very King of glory, but he is risen from the dead and he sees him alive today. Can we stand the test? Evildoers are going to wax worse and worse. And the love of many is going to grow cold and has grown cold. And we look at that as some kind of blatant statement that that's what everybody's going to do. But I got to tell you something. There is a kingdom of God in this earth. There is a people that will not wax worse and worse. There is a people that will not grow cold in their love because they're burning with a fire and passion straight from the throne room of God. You can't put this fire out. There's not a blanket around that can smother it out. You can't drown out the voices of the people of God because we are not subject to this world. We are subject to a king that is sitting on a throne in heaven. I've heard in my spirit this week, God saying that I'm going to clean and I'm going to purge my house of the perverted prophets. They carry my name. And yet live in perversion and ungodliness. Who serve the God of mammon instead of the very throne of God. We've got to decide who we are and what we are. If we can't worship the sting of rejection, then we're not worthy for this day. If you can't preach under the hurt of criticism, then you're not worthy for this day. If you can't shout the praises of God without a dollar in your pocket, you're not worthy. God's not asking us to assemble for a party. He's asking us to sell our lives for everything about us. We sung a song today, "You're All We Want." I'm wondering if that's really true. As we were singing that song, I said, "God, there's a lot of things that I want. I'm not sure I can really sing this song. There's darkness that is coming upon this nation. And we are going to have to get our eyes off of the darkness and get our eyes back on the light of the throne of glory. If we can't behold the glory of the Lord in a land of darkness, then we're going to be in trouble, because we have got to be able to behold His presence. God is looking for places around this country and across this country that'll shake off the bands of wickedness, that'll shake off the offense of this world, and will get in their hearts right with the very throne of God, and will bow themselves before the throne of God and say, God, You're everything to me. We are here to worship You. We are here. Oh, listen to me. The days of the shopper is over. We're not going to be able to shop for the church we like. We're not going to be able to shop for the right singing, the right, oh, if you don't preach my message, I'm going to go somewhere else. It's time for the children of God to bow and humble themselves before God and say, God, I give up my petty preferences. I died to my own wants, and God, I want to worship You with everything in me. People are afraid that they might offend somebody. I got to tell you something. You're an offense just because you're breathing. We will offend. We will offend. It's not what we say. It's what that book says. You listen to me? It's what this book says. I saw a video the other day, just sick in my heart, of a guy carrying a flag through a park in a city. And it was like a pack of dogs come after him. I never seen such grotesque behavior in my life. And where have we come to? You know, we like to say, oh, we're a Christian nation. We are not a Christian nation. True Christians make up about 5% of the population of America now. I'm talking about true Christians. I'm not talking about the ones that come and patty cake with God on Sunday. This man was carrying a flag through a park, and people were screaming at him, running and trying to tear the flag off the pole. They were throwing things at him, screaming at him. It was awful. And that's just a symbol of our country. I mean, that's just our flag. And people are like ravenous wolves. And one lady was screaming to the top of her voice, "You're traumatizing us. You're traumatizing us. You're traumatizing everybody in this park and in this city. You're traumatizing us." And I thought to myself, oh God, she better toughen up, because God's about to traumatize a whole bunch of people. Because the body of Christ is about to find out what we're really made out of. and who we really are. Oh, God. If you're thinking this revival, if you're going to be able to join this revival and work in this revival, and you're more interested in the pay package and the benefit package than what God's going to do, you ain't worthy. I'm measuring my words carefully today. I ask Holy Spirit to take control of my mouth and help me not to speak my words or my opinions. Because this is a day, this is an appointed hour. I need you to hear me today. This is an appointed hour. This is not just a preacher getting up preaching some passionate message. I am literally gripped with the hand of God, and he's speaking through my mouth, and he's saying, things have changed. The other day, God stopped me in my tracks, and I've been struggling to try to find my footing ever since. Because in prayer, all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit said, the God of Mammon has made his move. And I stopped and I said, God, what does that mean? What do we do now? What are we supposed to do? I can't tell you exactly what's going to take place in the next few months. But I can tell you that the devil has not changed his mind. And the thing is, God has given him permission to move. That's the thing we need to understand. If Holy Spirit said, the God of Mammon has made his move, it's because God said, you can move now. And we can't fight God. We can't love two masters. We can't serve God and Mammon at the same time. I don't know how this is. I don't know how it's going to work. I've been praying, God, somehow free this thing up. God, somehow finance this thing. Somehow, God, we've got to move. We've got to move. We've got to move. We've got to move forward. God, would do this, do this. You know, God, how are you going to do this? And the answer he gives me is the God of Mammon has made his move. In other words, he's moved to take complete control. I asked myself this week, I said, God, I've never multiplied fish and bread. I have a feeling we might be getting ready to. I guess I have, because I've drove my car. As an evangelist, there was times I drove my car on empty with no gas in it, and it just kept running. Stupidest thing I ever did was put gas in that thing. There's been many times we've done this. God knows how to get you there. Times when there was no food, and yet God met our needs. There's times when we couldn't pay any bills, and yet God paid the bills. There's times we didn't have anything, and yet we had everything. Are you listening to me today? Pastor Rob preached last Sunday, a gift never has a return until it's applied. Me and Sister Betty, I've told you this before, me and Sister Betty was sitting in a church parking lot in Tulsa, Oklahoma. We preached our hearts out. We ministered at a church, did the best we could. They took up offerings every night, every service. And when it's time to leave, the pastor shook my hand and he said, "It's been a pleasure having you, thanks." Walked out, locked the doors. Me and Sister Betty went out and got in our car. We had borrowed money to put gas in our car to get there. And we were out of gas. And without a dollar in our pocket, with no gas in our car, sitting on a church parking lot in Tulsa, Oklahoma, we had to drive home to Walnut Shade, Missouri, to get home because we had nowhere to go. We thought maybe we'd just sleep in the car on the parking lot that night. And finally, Sister Betty said, "Well, what are you going to do?" I said, "We're going to pray, and I'm going home." Amen. We prayed together. I started that old clunker up that we was driving. Got 11 miles a gallon on the highway, best it would do. I mean, that thing was wore out. Drunk gas, like, I mean, 11 miles a gallon was the best it would get when it was running good. Paint was coming off of it. I mean, it looked awful. Had an old vinyl roof on it that was all shredded. And I started that thing up. Now I'm hearing some of you say, "Well, I don't know, you know, I can't, God's got to bless me with a new car if I'm going to be an evangelist. You're not worthy for this day." I've got to have a pay package before I go to a church and preach. You're not worthy for this day. I got a call from another pastor wanting to give me information of a guy that he thought was pretty anointed. And I listened to some of his stuff and I thought, yeah, he's good. You know, I think he's got a word. And he said, "But now there's a couple things you need to know if you're going to bring him to your church." And I said, "Okay." He had to have a really nice motel room. We had to pay his airfare to fly him here and fly him home, him and his wife. And I thought, okay, we can do that. We can go with that. Then he said, "You also need to get him Silver Dollar City tickets and some show tickets while he's here." At that time, my true nature come out. And I said, "You tell that phony to stay where he's at. If I bring somebody in to preach at my church, they better be on their knees praying and seeking God during the day and have a word from heaven when they get here at night. I'm not interested in some playboy coming and having a good time on God's dime." I know this is hard, and I know we've lived in a prosperous time, and I know all that has been, you know, that's been wonderful, that's been good, but I'm talking about a new day. I'm talking about a different time. I'm talking about the fact that Jesus said, "I am the Alpha, but I am also the Omega." I am the first, but I am also the last. And I'm here to tell you today that we are the generation of the last. We are the generation of the Omega. We are the generation of the finishers. This thing is wrapping up. It is finishing. God is offering us an opportunity to launch out. God is offering us an opportunity to have one more move, but it will not be in a comfortable time. Man, I told Holy Spirit, I said, have somebody else preach that. But I'm prophesying to you today that there's a cleansing coming to the body of Christ. This perverted mess that the church has become. We're not going to change our pronouns. We're not going to change what the book says. Marriage is still between a man and a woman. There's still only two genders, male and female. It's amazing. There's supposed to be 100 and some genders, but every time archaeologists find skeletons, they always say it's a male or a female. Thousands of years ago, their bones, they died and their bones are dried, but they're still male and female. We're going to have to stop being afraid of upsetting somebody. Because we will upset people. I'd like to come in here and preach a message like I heard the other day. Some guy was preaching and he was saying there's about to be an outpouring of the Spirit of God and there's blessing and prosperity coming upon all the people of God. And I thought, wow, that would be awesome. That would be wonderful. I wish I could say that, but I would be lying. And I'm not going to lie to you. I'm not going to build a fantasy for you. I'm going to tell you this. We're about to find out what we're made of. Amen. Wow, this is a heavy message, isn't it? We're about to find out what we're made of. Amen. A lot of our big mega churches across this land are going to be turned wrong side out because of the perversion that has been allowed to come into that house. And you think God's going to come back and give us an ice cream social with our favorite music playing in the background and fanning us and saying, just hang on a little longer, I'll come get you. No. The fire of heaven's about to hit. And when the fire of heaven hits, there's going to be a lot of uncomfortable people. And I don't want to be one of them. I want to be like Rob said, I want to be walking around in the fire saying, God, I'm just glad I'm walking with you. Hallelujah. I'm just glad I'm walking with you. I don't know. God gave me some pretty strong words, and I'm not going to read them this morning. He outlined some things that he told me what was going to happen in this country. But we've got to just get our eyes on the kingdom of God. And we've got to become soldiers of the kingdom. I fear that in my heart, the church is praying for revival, not because we're hungry for God, but we're hungry for our prosperity to continue. I believe that's why we're praying and asking God for revival. I'm just like you. I don't like discomfort. But we're gonna have to walk in discomfort. I was thinking about this tent that all of a sudden God has given us. And it just keeps coming. It's like, God, what are you doing? Damon and Doug was out there over there sorting out a gym full of sound equipment we got the other day. I mean, we got sound equipment. We can hold some huge meetings. All that, we got it for half price. We got speakers this tall. And we got a whole bunch of them, brand new. And it's like, wow, what are we doing? Got all this sound equipment. We're getting all these stuff set up, and we got a 24-foot trailer to put it in, and we've got a big tank for baptizing. Like a big horse tank. And now we got a big tank to haul water in to fill the horse tank up. Now we're getting ready to go get a bunch of chairs. And it's like, I was standing there looking at all this stuff the other day, and I said, God, what are you doing? I don't even know what we're supposed to do yet. Where are we going? What? Aren't we supposed to have somewhere to go before we get all this stuff? This is an ordained day. There's a shift taking place. Things have changed. We are now moving into the finisher's anointing of the body of Christ. And many are going to run and flee. But those who know their God are going to stand up and receive the garment of the finisher, and we will see the glory of God in a time of evil and in a time of darkness. The light of God is going to shine. Stand with me today. God, help us today. Lord, you know I've entered this day with fear and trepidation in my heart, because in so many ways I've been saying, we're not ready. We're not ready. But all we can say, Father, is here we are. Here we are. Here's our hands, Father. God, apply them to the labor of the kingdom. God, here's our mouth. God, use our mouth. Use our voice to speak. Oh, God, I'm so hungry for true prophetic declarations. Father, we commit ourselves to you today. If you're still putting stipulations on serving God, you're not going to make it in this day. If you're still saying, God, I will if... The if has to be taken out, and it's got to be, God, I will. I will. We like to say the harvest is white and the labors are few, and I got to tell you something. We see that as this field of grain blowing in the wind, a peaceful day. But in this day, to be an evangelist, to get a harvest, means you're going to have to wade off into the swamp full of alligators and snakes and drag the fish out of the pond. Father, here we are. You know, at this point, this is between you and God. Father, I want my yes to be on the table, Lord God, and with everything in me, I feel like I'm saying yes. I feel like, God, I've put my yes on the table. And I want you to hear me today. Don't do this if it's not from the depths of your heart. But if your yes is on the table today to God, I want you to get out of your seat. Come up here and join together as a body. Because we've got to work as a team. We've got to work as a body. God, my yes is on the table today. Humble myself and pray. God, I will bow myself before you in prayer. Lord, I will obey your voice. I will hear your word. Lord, our prayer today is like the Hebrew men that God is able to deliver us from this. But if not, let it be known that we did not bow. We did not bow. Holy God. Search us, God, and see if there be any wicked way in us, Lord. Oh, God. We humble ourselves in your presence today, Father. Lord, we are not going to be a bunch of offended people. We're going to be worshiping warriors. God, turn us into worshiping warriors. This is the finisher's task. Baptize us new and fresh, Lord God, in the anointing of the finisher. God, clothe us with the power. Clothe us with the power. Clothe us with your anointing, God. Oh God. Oh God. Oh God. Oh. Baptize us, God. Baptize us in your fire. Baptize us, God, with the anointing for this day. God, baptize us. this hour, Lord, for this time. Holy God.